In the frequency domain, you have, if you just take the Fourier transform using the MATLAB function or any FFT, what you get is not this, but something different with 0, 0 at the top left corner, the horizontal frequency increasing up to half the sampling frequency, capital U over 2, and then the other side you have 0U or U0, and then the frequency, this frequency could be taken to be the negative frequency increasing in this direction. So you can count frequency in the discrete, for a discrete image, the frequency variable could be counted as going from 0 to U, the maximum frequency times 2. Maximum frequency is half the sampling frequency, U over 2. Capital U is the sampling frequency. Then frequency is increasing monotonically in this direction. But you can also view this as negative frequency from 0 to negative U over 2. Similarly, in the vertical axis, you get 0 to V over 2 and 0, the capital V here, the vertical frequency. Now, if you fold or shift the frequency axis so that the origin is in the middle, 0, 0 here, then the representation is positive horizontal frequency going to the right, 0 to U over 2, and going to the left, 0 to negative U over 2. So it is like going from here to the left, which is negative frequency, which will come here. So imagine taking a part of the picture there, and remember that when you take the Fourier transform of a sample signal, the Fourier transform is periodic. So you have one spectrum here, and you have another spectrum there, and so on, repeated an infinite number of times. So your origin could be taken to be there, or here, or somewhere else. You just take one period of the Fourier transform. So instead of taking the origin there, if you place the origin here, you're effectively cutting the spectrum in that manner. So here you have negative frequency in the horizontal direction, positive vertical frequency going up, negative vertical frequency coming down. So this is the commonly used representation for Fourier transforms of images with 0, 0 at the center of the spectrum that is displayed. Horizontal frequency like this, vertical frequency like that, positive horizontal like this, negative horizontal like that. So this is an important point about the notation and convention in the representation of Fourier transforms of images. So if you take the FFT algorithm directly, you get the Fourier transform like this in magnitude, 0, 0 here. But if you fold or change your reference and cut the spectrum using this point as the center, you get this, where 0, 0 is in the middle, horizontal frequency, positive and negative. And vertical frequency here, this is positive going up, negative coming down. Okay? The convention is to show the spectrum of an image in this manner. I'll show you some other formats of the spectrum later on. So here is a rect function shown as a mesh plot instead of an intensity image. And this is the sync function in magnitude. So this may give you a different impression. The sync function has a main lobe and then side lobes that decay. It's the same as what you saw earlier, but as a mesh plot. Instead of a square, if you have a rectangle function that is not equal in the horizontal and vertical directions, you get a sync function that is not the same along the two frequency axes. So it is wider horizontally, so in the horizontal frequency, you have narrower lobes of the sync function. It is narrow in the vertical axis, so in the vertical axis in the frequency domain, the lobes are wider. So there is an inverse relationship again. If you rotate the image, the Fourier transform is correspondingly rotated. So if the bar is horizontal, you get this. If the bar is vertical, you get the same spectrum, just rotated. And if you rotate the bar by 45 degrees, you get this spectrum. Now, I didn't rotate the spectrum. I actually recomputed the spectrum. But within computational differences, these are rotated versions of the same Fourier transform. Another commonly used function is the circle function. In signal processing, in 1D signal processing, we commonly use the impulse function, the ideal impulse, and we use the step function. In signal processing, you must have seen the step function, which is comparable to the rectangle function, except that the step goes on for infinity, whereas the rectangle function has steps both to begin and end in space. In image processing, there is another possibility, which is a circle. There is no equivalent in the time domain for a circle, but if you cut a circle, you get a pulse. So it corresponds to a pulse rotated so that it is isotropic or rotationally symmetric. So a circle function is defined with only one variable, r, which is distance from the origin, equal to square root of x square plus y square, with origin at x, y equal to 0, 0. Now, a circle function is more natural than a rectangle function in imaging systems because a circular aperture is used commonly. Most of the apertures you use, the lenses you use, are circular and not rectangular. So a circle is a natural function for two-dimensional image processing systems or imaging systems. So circ r is 1 if the radius r is less than 1, otherwise it is 0. The Fourier transform of a circ function is a Bessel function, 1 over nu, J1 2 pi nu, where nu is square root of u square plus v square. So instead of two frequency variables, you only have one frequency variable because the image is isotropic and the Fourier transform is also isotropic. And J1 here is the first order Bessel function of the first kind. Now this is not a perfect circle, this is a digital circle. So you see some sharp edges there. So for the digital circle, you get the Bessel function here, but at higher frequencies there is some noise and some artifacts because this is not a perfect circle. So to a certain approximation, this is a Bessel function in 2D. And it is isotropic. And if you plot this as a mesh plot, this is the circ function, and this is the Bessel function, which is like a sync function, the same way, decaying psi lobes, but it is isotropic, rotationally symmetric. If you take a section of this Fourier transform, you get this function. Now, this is supposed to be just the side lobes decaying, but because of the fact that I used a digital circle, by digital circle I mean a circle on discrete coordinates, and there are sharp edges in some corners, we get this function, which is a profile or a section of the two-dimensional Bessel function. Now, there is symmetry, because it's a real function, there is symmetry for the positive and negative frequency axes. In the time domain also, when you have a real signal f of t, its Fourier transform, f of omega, has conjugate symmetry. F of minus omega is f conjugate omega, f star omega. So the real part has even symmetry about the origin. Because of this, you don't have to show both sides. You can only show, you could possibly show only one half. So you could plot only this part or this half of the spectrum of the profile of the spectrum. So you get this function, which is only plotting from here up to there, just this part. Then you get this function, which is a radial profile from the origin to the maximum frequency of the spectrum. And the full spectrum is obtained by simply rotating that one slice or radial profile. So when you're talking about the modulation transfer function of an imaging system, which is rotationally symmetric or isotropic, instead of showing the two-dimensional spectrum, as I showed earlier, one would show only this much of the spectrum. A simple plot of a radial profile only for positive frequency. So there is a simplification from the two-dimensional image to just one half of the profile, which is this. So profiles of two-dimensional system transfer function, it is common to show only one half of the profile for positive frequencies. It is assumed then that the system possesses axial or rotational symmetry or isotropy. Now here are some examples of Fourier transforms of real images. This is the collagen fiber cross-sectional image I showed earlier. This is the Fourier transform. Now there are circles of different sizes, so you don't see the Bessel function because they interfere constructively and destructively, so you only get this. Here, almost all the circles are of the same size, and you can see two rings of the Bessel function. After that, you don't see it clearly. Obviously, comparing the two on the same size, because you have big circles, the main lobe is small here, and because these circles are small, the main lobe is big, so there is more high-frequency energy here. For the collagen fiber images, here we have the oriented fibers, and you see the Fourier transform concentrated with energy or with energy concentrated along multiple lines or orientations because of the preferred orientation. The vertical bar-like patterns here will have the energy mainly along the horizontal or nearly horizontal, this. And if you take this piece of collagen fiber, the Fourier transform components of that will lie here. There is a 90 degree shift, the angle in the image domain and the frequency domain. If you go back, when the bar is oriented like this, the stronger component is at 90 degrees. There is the other component also. But as this line becomes thinner and thinner, as the bar tends to a straight line, you will see its Fourier transform concentrated along only one axis. The other axis will reduce in value. In the second case of the collagen fibers with no preferred orientation, you don't see these radial concentrations of energy. Instead, it is spread all around with no preferred orientation. Whereas here, the preferred orientations are clear. There are many, there is a single preferred orientation, of course, but there are other oriented components present. So based on these examples, we could say that by taking the magnitude spectrum using the Fourier transform of the image, you could evaluate or assess the frequency content of the image and get some impression as to whether it is equally distributed for all angles, if there are preferred orientations or orientations for which there are specific components, whether it is a high frequency image or a low frequency image, and so on. Those are the basic impressions one could get from the Fourier transform just by looking at the magnitude spectrum as we have seen now. There are several important properties of the Fourier transform, and we will go through them. Some of them are fairly simple, so I'll go through them quickly. The kernel of the Fourier transform is separable and symmetric. I already mentioned that. So FKL, the Fourier transform, may be evaluated as one Fourier transform, fmn exponential minus j 2 pi over on nl, this one, from one image domain n to the corresponding frequency domain l. This is a 1D Fourier transform. of the result of this, you take another Fourier transform, multiplying it with exponential minus j 2 pi over n mk for the other image domain and the variable and the other frequency variable. So there are two Fourier transforms, one for one direction, the other for another direction, one after another. Note that this is not the product of two Fourier transforms. You take one transform along one axis, and of the result, you take another transform. So you can use 1D FFT algorithm to achieve 2D or multiple dimensional FFT just by applying the same one dimensional FFT one dimension at a time. So FML, L is a frequency, L is a space variable, M is, wait a minute, L is a frequency variable, M is a space variable. That is obtained by applying the Fourier transform to FMN. This is the image with NL in the kernel function. And because there is a 1 over N, you have to multiply by N because of the normalization requirement if there is a 1 over N here. This is not the Fourier transform of the image yet. One dimension has been transformed. Now you take that and apply the Fourier transform along the MK using the MK kernel for the other direction. And then you get FKL, which is the Fourier transform of the image. The second dimension, M, has been converted K now. The first transform converted N to L. Okay? So you have to make sure that the normalization 1 over n is properly taken care of. Depending upon the FFT algorithm you use, you may or may not have that 1 over n in the forward or inverse transform. So Parseval's theorem says that you have to maintain the energy. The total energy in the image domain must be equal to the total energy in the Fourier transform domain. So the integral of fxy square must be equal to the integral of fue square, which you know in the 1D case. The inverse Fourier transform may also be obtained using the same FFT algorithm for the forward. There's only one FFT algorithm that gives you the transform, and typically it'll do the forward transform. To get the inverse transform, you take the forward transform of the conjugate of the function you have, and then take the conjugate of that result. So IFT is the inverse transform of capital F is a Fourier domain function that is equal to the Fourier transform of F star and star of that. Star indicates conjugation. Now there are two types of stars. When you write F star H and the star is in line, it means convolution. When the star is a superscript, it means complex conjugation. So you just have to remember that. That is common notation, I suppose, everywhere. The Fourier transform is a linear transform. You know this. Gxy, if gxy is fxy plus eta xy. In this book and course, eta is used typically to represent noise. I don't use nxy because n is used in the index fmn. So we use eta for noise. Or it doesn't matter. If you have a sum of two functions in the image domain, their corresponding Fourier transforms are also added. Now, most real-life images have a large portion of the energy concentrated at UV equal to 0, 0. I showed you the collagen fiber images. Most of the energy is concentrated near the origin. So, in case of real-life smooth images, most of the energy is near the origin, very little exists outside. But if there are edges, sharp features, and small-scale little details or fine details, then you get increased strength of high-frequency components. So that again you can see here. I'll keep switching back. If there are small details, you get more high-frequency. If there are only big objects, you get low frequency. And the same here. If you have fine details, you have more high frequency components. But if you have noise, random noise has a spectrum that is equally spread over all frequency space. If the samples in a random noise image are mutually uncorrelated, the autocorrelation function will be an impulse function. The Fourier transform of an impulse function is flat, which is a white spectrum. So the spectrum of random noise will be flat or uniform for all frequencies. The energy is equally spread across all frequencies, whereas for images, most of the energy is near zero frequency. So random noise will give you more energy at high frequencies where the image has low energy. So to remove noise, you could remove high frequency components, assuming that the image has negligible information there. But indiscriminate removal of high frequency components could cause blurring, because high frequency energy is related to sharp edges and fine details. So one has to be careful. I'll show you some examples later. The DFT and its inverse are periodic signals. When you sample an image, the spectrum is periodic. When you compute the discrete Fourier transform, you are sampling the frequency spectrum. So when you sample in the frequency domain, the original image domain signal also becomes periodic. So when you take the discrete Fourier transform, because of sampling, the image domain signal also becomes periodic. So both the original image and the spectrum are now sampled, and because of that, both are periodic. Of course, we only took one image, but if you were to imagine its extension into a periodic version, that is what you have here. So FKL is equal to FK plus or minus alpha NL, or L plus or minus beta N, or both, where alpha and beta are some integers. And the same applies to FMN. The Fourier transform is conjugate symmetric for images that have real values. So F minus K minus L is F star KL. You know this for real signals in the time domain. The same thing here, now in two dimensions. So the magnitude F minus K minus L magnitude is equal to magnitude of FKL. So there is even symmetry of magnitude, and the angle has odd symmetry. The angle of F minus K minus L is minus angle of FKL. This you know in one dimension, and the same thing applies here. So the magnitude spectrum is even symmetric. The phase spectrum is odd symmetric for real images. And most images that we deal with in practice are real valued images. A shift or translation applied to an image leads to a linear phase component in the Fourier transform. The magnitude spectrum is unaffected by a modification of the phase or shifting. So if FMN is the original image and its Fourier transform is FKL, then FM minus M0, N minus N0 is a shifted image. So if this is FMN, then FM minus M0, N minus N0 is here, the distance or separation being M0, N0. So that is a shift. But if you shift an image, the spectral content is not affected. The frequencies remain the same. You are just shifting the phase of those components. So FKL will remain the same in magnitude, but there is an additional phase component, exponential j 2 pi over n, km0 plus ln0. And if FKL has some phase already in it, this phase is added to it. So shifting causes additional phase component, and that phase component is linear because it is proportional to that shift, km0 ln0. Now there is a converse to this which is interesting, and that is, if you shift in the frequency domain, if you take the Fourier transform and shift it, fk minus k0 l minus l0, then the image, FMN, gets multiplied with an exponential, which is similar to what we saw here. The same, except that you have plus now, comes on this side. And k naught is here m plus l naught n. So if you shift in the image domain, you get multiplication with a complex exponential in the frequency domain, which is interpreted as a shift in phase or an additional linear component to the phase of the spectrum. If you shift in the frequency domain, you get a multiplication with a complex exponential in the image domain, but that is modulation. You are multiplying the signal with a sinusoidal function, which in communication is known as amplitude modulation. For transmission of signals using the old style amplitude modulation, you would multiply the signal with an exponential, but only a cosine function in real applications. So here, you are multiplying the image with an exponential function. But in image transmission, you don't do this because you cannot take a two-dimensional function and multiply it by sinusoids and transmit. Instead, you'll be converting the image into a 1D signal by scanning, and then take that 1D signal, multiply with a carrier frequency, and then transmit it. So this is interesting in the sense it is not used directly in that manner for image transmission. The property has implications in the modulation of 1D signals for transmission and communication, but not the same for 2D. It has some other meaning, which I'll explain later on, which is related to the shifting of the spectrum. I showed that the display of the spectrum is shifted from what the FFT algorithm gives you, and this property has an implication with that. F00, like DC in one-dimensional signals, direct current, here 00 frequency gives the average value. The DC value is considered to be zero frequency or average value of the signal in 1D. Here it is also the average value, which is the average intensity. F00 is integral of the signal fmn with exponential j2 pi ux plus vy, but uv equal to 00, so the exponential function is 0. I'm sorry, the argument is 0, so the exponential function is 1. So it is simply the integral of the function.